Daniel chapter 9. It's interesting, Brother Hines, that I was wondering if you were going to cover the ninth chapter. It was on my heart. I said, well, if he covers it, I'll just sit there. But when you stopped where you did, I felt perhaps the Lord wanted me to speak of the ninth chapter. Daniel chapter 9. I'd like to join my testimony to that of our brother Heinz, that it's a wonderful book. It's a man that God singles out later on as being of outstanding character in the prophets. The ninth chapter of Daniel, we read this. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. I want to note this. Daniel, besides the other things that we've learned about him this afternoon, Daniel was diligent in looking into the Word of God. And not only diligent in looking into it, but it meant something to his soul. God used his precious word to speak to Daniel. There's a room over there with some books in it. One of the things that I've heard recently, and I grieve over it when I hear it, is that sales of Christian books, I'm talking about exposition of the scripture, have just about dried up. Just about dried up. Oh, don't buy them to collect them and impress the brethren with the great black row of JND's writings, and so you can, when they come in, you can dust them off and say, look at this, I have all the writings of the old time brethren. I don't mean to mock at that, but I think there's a danger of putting the black row before our brethren and impress them that we collect the right books. Do you read them? Do you understand anything by them? Daniel did. I gather from reading this that he got books that helped him understand what Jeremiah's prophecy was all about. I understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. That's not an academic knowledge. Oh, be careful of that. Be careful. Knowledge of Scripture is good and important, and it's wonderful to get a hold of the truth of God. I thank God for the books that I was encouraged to buy and read when I was a young man. I may have mentioned this before, but particularly helpful to me were Mr. McIntosh's, they call it the Treasury now. A lot of them were printed in pamphlet form. And when I was in the Army, I used to put a couple of Mr. McIntosh's pamphlets in the helmet liner, inside the helmet liner. And in basic training, they say, all right, folks, fellas, 10 minutes to smoke. And I'd go off by myself and pull out of my helmet some real spiritual food. And I thank God for it. I thank God for it. The assembly of God, the all-sufficiency of the name of Jesus. The Bible, its sufficiency and its supremacy. Jehoshaphat, a word on world bordering. Oh, they're wonderful. If you haven't read them, young men, get them and read them. Enjoy them. But let them get into your souls. Don't become just academic in these things. God doesn't give us His truth so that we can impress everyone that we've read certain ministry. You know, there are some who, I'm sad to say, when they minister, it's all good and it's correct, but you'd almost have the impression they were reciting a book of ministry to us. Let the truth get into your soul as it did into Daniel's. It got into his soul. It affected him. He realized that he was living in a critical time. He was living in the time when the 70 years of which Jeremiah had spoken were just about over. And he wanted to get before the Lord about it. Now, you and I are not living in that kind of a time, but we're living right at the very point of the Lord's coming, I believe. I use Mr. Booth's chart sometimes in the jail, and the fellows always say, "Where are we on that chart, Brother Dick?" And I always show them right at the end of Laodicea. Makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck, doesn't it? To think we're right at the moment when the Lord is going to come and all these wonderful things in prophecy will come to pass. And what is our moral condition in connection with that? Mr. McIntosh had another little track that I appreciated very much. The difference between holding premillennial doctrine and waiting for the Son from heaven. Now, if you ask me, are you pre-tribulation, premillennial? I'd say, yes, praise God, I am. That's the teaching of the Word of God. But I want to say this. I would rather run into someone who didn't understand that and was mixed up on it, but was waiting for the Son from heaven, than for someone who knew about it and didn't care. I sometimes think of those sons of the prophets when Elisha was going with Elijah, and they say to him, "Don't you know that your master's going to be taken from over your head today?" He says, "I know, be quiet." Why did he say that? Theirs was a knowledge. But what did it do? Did it put them alongside of Elijah as he was going from place to place? No. And if the knowledge you have of prophecy and of books and of things like that does no more than make you an intellect in the things of God, I'm sorry for you. I'm sorry for you. When the Thessalonians were first saved, when they turned to God from idols to serve a living and a true God, it connects it immediately with and to wait for His Son from heaven. Now, they didn't understand a lot about it. And so in 1 Thessalonians 4, when all these questions came up, what about Grandma who died and my son who isn't here anymore and have they missed the blessing? Paul says, "I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them that are asleep. There is no premium on ignorance in the things of God. That's not something to be cultivated and to be I'm glad I'm ignorant about those things. I had a brother, a dear brother I love very much, who said to me, oh, premillennial, amillennial, I don't even want to know about those things. What is he? Willfully ignorant. Willfully ignorant. He doesn't want to know. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about that. And then he goes and he lays it out for them in a correct way so they understood. He laid out for them, if we may say it, pre-tribulation, pre-millennial rapture. And I believe it is. Now, it's under attack again today. It's under attack again today. Very greatly. There is now strongly arising among evangelicals the doctrine that's referred to as pre-wrath rapture. Yes, the Lord's going to get us. He'll get us just before the Great Tribulation, which is the second half of the 70th week of Daniel. I don't want to get into that right now. But just to warn you, you better get busy and look into some of these things. Get a hold of principles in the Word of God. Do like Daniel. Get into books. Get into books. And most of you know that my father-in-law had a tremendous number of books in his library. And every time Ernie Wakefield came to visit him, he'd look at them and he'd say to me, Gilbert's got a lot of books. He's got a lot of books. I want to tell you something about my father-in-law. He had read them all. He had read them all. And when the Lord took him home, he was on his second time through them. Now, when I say books, I understand that we're not a very reading people today. We're more interested in audio and that sort of thing. I'm not complaining. If you'd like to put, in fact, I'm in the process right now putting some books on tape, and Bill Ward's done a number of them in Spanish and in English. He's put some books on tape. But do you even have the diligence to listen to them? Do you put one in your car when you're driving? Dear brother gave him some tapes and he says, I have a lot of windshield time on my work. What do you mean by that? Well, he meant he was driving cars one place to another, selling something or an engineering consultant, I don't remember. But he said, it's wonderful to be able to put a tape in and make my trip profitable. Now verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made... Now listen. Notice it says what? He made what? My confession. My confession. Hindsight, you gave us a nice picture of Daniel. I didn't think he needed much confession from what you were ministering before. He made my confession. Don't start confessing about other people. Confess about yourself first in the presence of the Lord. Let God's word speak to your soul and mine as we read it, so that when we get into the Lord's presence, we take the humble place and we see what God is saying to us. I don't know about you, but there's plenty that when I open up God's word and read it, there's plenty there that says, Dick, that's wrong in your life. cultivate that, to confess to the Lord. I made my confession and said, "Oh Lord, the great and dreadful God." Do you have a sense of the great and dreadful God? God's greatness? Keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned. We have sinned. Now, wait a minute, did I read that right? We have failed, right? Ron doesn't look like I'm reading it right. I don't think I am. You see, we like to say these euphemisms. We have failed. Is that what God says about it? We have sinned. Can we confess that to the Lord? We have sinned. We. Not that assembly over there that I know about. They've sinned, you know. We have sinned. To take our place with all the people of God and own our place with it. We have sinned. And have committed iniquity. A deliberate evil act against the Lord. And have done wickedly. And have rebelled. What a confession. Even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. You know, brethren, as I think about my life and remember the things that I was exercised about when I was a young man, newly saved, newly exercised, I should say, about things. I was saved when I was six, but when I got really into the Word of God and I was newly exercised by the Word of God, there were so many things that the Lord spoke to me about through His Word. Through these little pamphlets of Mr. McIntosh, for example, or another little paper here and there that I'd read. Something of Paul Wilson's or C.H. Brown's. And I'd say, that's not right in my life. And I'd do away with it in my life. And then I'd find they're back again. What is that? That's rebellion. It's decline. And we better be specific about it. Be willing to say to the Lord, yes, that I have and we have gotten into. And I don't want to say what they are. If the Lord doesn't show you, oh, am I speaking about something only anger you? If the Lord shows you, you'll get down like Daniel and confess before him, departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. When is the last time that you thought about the unequal yoke? What's the unequal yoke? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be linked together with them. Don't do it. And then we begin to say, well, that's all right. We'll do this and we'll do that. And we'll, you know, that's not quite an unequal yoke. And we give up. And we give up and we give up. And pretty soon we've left aside totally the principles and commandments of the Lord. Verse 6, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets. God has sent to his people prophets, spokesmen. Prophet is a spokesman for God. Spokesman in its basic sense, but for God in the biblical sense. Someone who speaks for God, who pleads with us, who brings before us what God is saying to us.
Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers,
and to all the people of the land. Yes, God speaks principally to leaders. He speaks principally to leaders, and there's a special solemn responsibility for those who take the lead among the people of God. But when he speaks to all the people. All.
O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us,
what confusion of face. That's an expression that I had a hard time with when I was a younger person. I think if you think about it a little bit, though, you'll understand it's a very apt picture of what belongs to us. Confusion. If you don't obey, if I don't obey the word of God, if I slip away from what he has laid down for us, can I have an honest and good face in his presence? Confusion of face is what belongs to us.
Verse 9 is beautiful. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him.
Isn't that wonderful?
To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. I'm going to go over now to much further along in the chapter. Verse 16, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us.
Beloved brethren, if we look at this as applying to the company of God's people gathered together to his name, to the Savior's name, our conduct has caused us to become a reproach, a reproach.
Verse 19 is so beautiful. Oh, Lord, hear.
This is earnestness here, isn't there, with Daniel? Have you gotten before the Lord in that way and say, oh, Lord, hear? This isn't perfunctory. This isn't something that is like reciting out of a prayer book. This comes from the depths of his soul, from his heart, because he's been moved.
Oh, Lord, hear. Oh, Lord, forgive.
Oh, Lord, hearken and do.
Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name.
That's the important thing, brethren. Don't ever disconnect the thought of a testimony to the Lord from his name. What makes the testimony of being gathered together to the name of the Lord Jesus anything at all is his name. His name. It's not us. It's not our reputation that matters. It's his name. He's been dishonored. I'll just close with reading a little bit of verse 20. And while I was yet speaking and praying and confessing my sin
and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. And he points out at the beginning of his supplication that God had heard him and listened to him. Yes, there was opposition to the answering of that prayer, but God had heard. And I want to tell you this, if you'll take that low position, if you and I will take that low position before God in regard to the things that we learn from Scripture, he will hear. He will answer. He will have mercy. Amen.